taking a just to answer a few questions from last week, okay? So, question. How can a couple draw closer to Jesus? I'm going to assume that means as a couple. And so I can tell you, Mari and I bounce these around with Mari, and I can tell you one of the things that is really cool is, and you don't have to do your devos the same, and I encourage you not to do them together. I mean, you can, but personal devotions are where you get to hear from God personally for yourself, okay? So you can do something together if you want to, but what Mari and I do, we do ours separately. Our schedule's a little bit different, but then we talk to each other about what we learned out of our devos. And so that puts that gives you an opportunity to, husbands, I encourage you, ask your wife, so what did you get out of your devotions today? And you have to ask in a way that's not like, what did you get out of yours? I'm assuming you did them. You know, not like, you know, you're the teacher or anything. And by the way, you never want to correct her because we're not the teachers, guys. Our girls hate that. Amen, girls? Okay? And so you just want to add, what did you learn? You know what? I have learned tons of stuff by just listening to what Mari has to say. Just saying, hey, what did you learn? And letting her give me what she's learned. It's pretty amazing. Then, guys, if your wife asks you what you learned, then you give her back, and you give her back your input for her. Don't just sit there and wait till she gets done thinking, I can't wait till she finishes, because as soon as she's done, I'm going to tell her all the cool stuff I've learned. Because if you do that, then she'll figure that one out too. So you just wait, and if she says, well, what did you get? Then you get to tell her what you've learned, okay? But never correct and be her teacher. They hate that. I can tell you right now, praying with your spouse is an amazing thing. I know that many couples are afraid to do that. They've either tried it and it's failed, or they've attempted to do it and got shot down by one or the other. But you know what? If you can find a way, and it's you know, try not to make it a legalistic thing, but just say, hey, if you got a minute, I'd love to pray with you today. Men, I encourage you to initiate that. And just say, if you got a minute, you know, can I pray with you before I leave, or can we pray together? And praying together is a really cool way of drawing two people closer together and closer to the Lord. Definitely fellowshipping together. And then follow the instructions that I'm going to be giving you for the next several weeks. Okay? That's a big deal right there, okay? But you know what? Like, I think that making time for each other is a big deal. But if you're kind of, you know, trying to draw closer to the Lord, I encourage you, you know, devos, you know, talking about them, praying together, fellowshipping together, and then, you know, one of the big deals is you got to ask God to put his love in your heart for your spouse. That's a big deal. And I think that if you'll do that on a consistent basis, I don't want to say daily because that, it, you know, kind of puts the pressure on you, but if you'll try that, you'll see. Now, I made the statement last week that I shared with you that there were basically three biblical ways that a person can be freed from a marriage. One of them is obviously, you know, if one or the other commits adultery, that gives the other one an opportunity to exercise their right to say, I'm going to depart this because they broke the vows, okay? The other one I told you is death, but make sure you remember, not murder. It would be death by normal cause and normal things, okay? And then I said abandonment, which is a very rare one, but it does happen. Now, the question then comes is, what about an emotional abandonment? Is there such a thing? Well, yes, there is. So how do you deal with that? Well, first and foremost, I would encourage someone to tell their spouse exactly how you feel. Tell them, let them know, listen, I feel like, you know, I am emotionally disconnected from you. I think it's very important for you to be able to let them know that. And then I would tell you this, do not wait. Get counsel. Go and talk to someone. And if the one who's feeling that neglect, I would say you go get counsel, even if you go alone, even if you have to initiate that on your own, get some counsel. And you can call our office. I'm happy to help you with that. But I encourage you, get Fight to fix it. Don't just sit back and do nothing, because it will never fix itself. And so that is one thing that I would encourage you. And listen, my wife and I went through a season of that, you know, to where I emotionally pulled back because of, you know, the conflict that we were facing. And so, you know, I know what it's like. I think Mari also emotionally pulled back from me because she was trying to get her own, you know, assistance and trying to get some healing done. And so she just couldn't give. And so, and we both kind of did that to each other at seasons of the marriage, but we didn't give up, man. And we continue to fight for that. And so another question that always I think I hear on a regular basis is, what does true repentance look like? Now, here's the deal. For men, okay, for us as men, we think once we've said we're sorry, it should be done. Okay, let's move forward. We said we're sorry. What's the problem? How come we're not moving forward? I said I was sorry. Well, you know, and so we think saying we're sorry is supposed to fix everything. Well, that doesn't fix everything. And so genuine repentance, isn't it interesting? You know, we know that Jesus is the initiator of grace. And yet, do you know what his first message was? Repent. What was John the Baptist's message? Repent. Isn't that interesting? Jesus didn't change the message. So repent literally means to change your mind about sin, to agree with God that what we're doing is sin. It also means to change direction. That doesn't just mean change and go a different direction, another sinful direction. It means I am heading towards a sinful direction. I need to turn and go back or move towards God himself. So true repentance means I change the direction of the sinful direction I'm moving, and I'm going to turn back to the Lord. I have to change my mind, my perspective about it. So if someone, for instance, let me give you a for instance. If there has been infidelity in a marriage, and someone has said, hey, I'm sorry, okay? But there has been no real change. For instance, if someone continues in, even though they've been caught in an adulterous relationship, but then they want to continue to maintain a friendship with that person. That is not repentance. That's unacceptable. That person needs to say, no, this friendship, Jesus said it very interesting. He said it in Matthew 19. If your eye causes you to sin, you pluck it out. Okay? If your hand causes you to sin, you cut it off. Now, he said, because it would be better for you to enter into the kingdom maimed than to go into hell all complete. Now, what was he talking about? He's talking about if you're looking at someone that you shouldn't be looking at, then you need to, if you have to, take a drastic, painful measure, pluck your eye out. If your hand is moving in a direction where it shouldn't be in a relationship, if you're typing on social media to get in touch with somebody from your old high school days, for instance, and your hand is doing something to where you're trying to reconnect with someone or even trying to stay connected with somebody that you've had an inappropriate relationship, Jesus said, cut your hand off. Take a drastic measure. Now, he didn't mean to literally do this. You realize that? Because I would be a stump, okay? That's just so you know, all right? No, he was saying, I want you to take a drastic measure. It's going to be painful to break off a relationship. It's going to be painful to turn a direction and not be somewhere where that person may be around you anymore. So true repentance says, the way I was going was wrong. Not only do you say, I'm sorry, but you give the person a chance to respond, will you forgive me? But then that means you're going to turn, you're going to move a different direction. You're not going to continue going in the same direction. That's not repentance. That might be remorse. That might be, you know, where, you know, little Johnny is trying to get cookies out of the cookie jar, and you say, hey, no, you don't get into the cookie jar. And then an hour later, you hear the little rattling of the cookie jar. And he says, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. You hear the little rattle. You come back over and say, what are you doing? So is there true repentance? No, because he would run away from the cookie jar. Remorse, I got caught. And I have dealt with many situations where somebody gets caught doing something they shouldn't do, but there isn't genuine repentance of it, to where they stop, they move a different direction, they no longer look that direction, they no longer use their hands to go that direction. True repentance means I'm moving back to the things of God. I'm going to cut it off. I'm going to deal with it drastically. It's going to hurt, but I don't care. Because my relationship with the Lord, first and foremost, is the most important. My relationship with you is second. So genuine repentance doesn't just mean that you say you're sorry. You have to literally change your mind, change your direction, and move in the direction of the Lord. And if your spouse has forgiven you of something, man, let me tell you, infidelity, probably 75% of the time, it's a terminating factor in a relationship. So if someone is in that 25% that is willing to forgive and to work through that, it's going to be difficult enough. They need to rebuild trust. You make sure you turn away and go the other direction. You've been given a gift that not a whole 75% of the people won't get. So that's to answer kind of some of the questions from last week. So with that said, pray with me, would you? Lord, we want to commit the night to you. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Let us see you. Let us learn something from you about each other that we can take home with us tonight, Lord, that might enhance and, Lord, restore and maybe give insight into the relationships that are in this room. And so we commit this night to you. May you be our teacher in Jesus' name. Amen. So turn to Genesis 2. So now, told you last week we talked about the men, and as I shared with you guys, these come from mountaintop experiences for me, where, boom, the Lord gave me something. As I shared with you, Mari and I had gotten to the place where we were kind of saying, you know what, I really don't want to be married to you anymore. I want to go get me a different one. I want to get a different girl that didn't have the problems. Mari wanted to get a different guy that would understand the problems. And that's when the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Rob, you can get rid of her, but I'm going to give you another one just like her. And at the same time, he told me, and Mari can get rid of you, but I'm going to give her another one just like you. And so so changing spouses doesn't usually fix things. It's when the Lord showed me out of 1 Peter 3, husbands, live with them with understanding. Learn to understand that. So I said, okay, Lord, then you got to help me to understand her. And the first thing that God began to do with me was to help me to see how radically different we are. And I know you guys have probably heard it from many different places. I mean, there was even a secular book that was out called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, or something like that. And yet, I can show you that right from the Word, where it comes directly from the Word. We were designed by God. And so last week we talked, you know, mainly about the men. Tonight we're going to focus on the women. And just some things that we can remember. Just let me give you guys your test. So what did God use to create the plant kingdom? Anybody remember? Dirt. Okay. What did he use to create man? What did he use to create the animal kingdom? Very important that you remember everything has been created out of dirt. Okay. Everything up until this point is building material, dirt. Okay. So man, we learned logical. Problem solver. You know what? Let's fire this baby up. Let's just play with this, shall we, Randy? I had to run back. I forgot to tell Randy that I was going to be using it. And so here. So Randy, do I need to flip it up or did you do it? I got to do it? Okay. How's that, dude? All right. So you guys remember, not supposed to be getting text messages. Text message. Isn't that crazy? So there we go. So we talked about men. We're compartmental thinkers. We think forward. Very rarely do we think backwards. We are logical. We are very compartmental. We're problem solvers. We're methodical, very routine. In fact, we talked about men that, you know, after maybe a two-week vacation, we've had about enough because we miss our routines. And this is something that men crave. They crave routine. We found out that God gave man the instructions. You shall not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So he gave man the capacity of choice. So he's been given that capacity to obey God or not to obey him. We know also that Adam had a wonderful, beautiful relationship with God. Very important that we remember. However, God was looking at Adam and saying, something's missing with Adam. Adam wasn't saying, God, something's missing. I need something. Adam wasn't saying that. So God knows it, but Adam doesn't. Okay, you with me so far? So God decides that he's time for him to remedy the problem. So let's see what God does when he remedies the problem. So you're in chapter 2, right? So let's pick it up where we left off, and I'll show you. And remember, we're going to make deductions. God doesn't say, this is how I made the woman. We're going to look at some of the pieces of this, and we'll make deductions backing it out of the text, okay? So we get to, let's pick it up, verse 20. Adam gave names of the cattle, the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. So that's the second time we've seen that. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh in his place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman. And then he brought her to the man. So obviously he woke up, okay? And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man. Therefore, and this is commentary that Moses gives that'll make more sense next week, okay? Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. So that little commentary will make more sense when we come back together next time. So, man needs a helper. He's incomplete. So what does God do in this particular situation? He's looking at Adam, and it's not like God's going, I can't figure this out. I think I messed up. God knew what he was going to do all along. Make sure you understand that. He has a plan for Adam, and he has a spouse for Adam. He has her picked out. Adam, as I shared with you guys last week, did not go searching for a spouse. He did not create a list of what he wanted in a spouse. Okay? Even though if you want to do that, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But Adam didn't present a list and say, God, here's what I want. This is what I'm looking for. He wasn't complaining to God as to how lonely he was he? Adam was just simply doing what God had given him to do. He was serving God. He was enjoying God. He was, you know, literally doing the tasks that God had given to him. God was looking at Adam and saying, I've got something. I want him to enjoy fellowship. The triunity of God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, that fellowship that God had within himself. He wanted, even though he had fellowship with Adam, he wanted Adam to experience that kind of fellowship, that kind of relationship. So, it was God who created Adam. So, do you think that God knows what Adam needs? So, God created you. Do you think he knows what you need? Of course he does, okay? So, I shared with you, if Adam would have been cruising through the jungle looking for a wife, it would have been a bad scene. You know, the orangutan would have been the closest thing that he could have found. You know, if you go cruising the jungle with your list, you're getting an ape. I promise you. Okay, so just remember that. So you wait for God. God has someone for you, and when you just say, Lord, put me to sleep. If you're single here tonight. Put me to sleep, put my desires to sleep, put my loneliness to sleep, put all of that to sleep. And when you're ready, you wake me up and you bring them here. I had someone a while back, I think I shared this with you guys, say, well, you know, I need to go cruising because the Lord's not going to bring one to Ramona. I said, well, how do you know that? I mean, is God big enough to bring one to Ramona? So this guy goes cruising, goes to Maranatha, goes all looking all over down the hill, right? Ends up back here saying, this is ridiculous. And God brought it right here. And so, you know, God is big enough. You watch and see. So Adam goes to sleep. He goes to sleep to all those desires. But did you notice something? Something different just happened. Everything's been made out of until now. And for the very first time, God creates someone in a different way than he has up until this point. It's radical. Up until this point, he's used dirt, but he didn't do that. He creates woman out of the rib of the man. Isn't that interesting? So this kind of proves that she was just for Adam since he was pulled from her. Now, the Hebrew word rib can also mean side. So it can be used interchangeably. He took the rib or he took a side of Adam. And from that side, if you will, he created, he fashions the woman. So it's at this particular point, it's almost like, could God have made her from dirt? Of course, he made everything else from dirt. He could have made her from dirt. But he chose not to do that. He could have made her from anything, for that matter. I tease all the time in my office. I say, he could have reached down into Southern California and say, she's going to like this anyway, so I'm going to make her out of gold. Or he could have reached down in Africa, she's going to like this too, so I'm going to make her out of diamonds, right? He could have made her out of anything that he wanted to do. But he chose to make her from the rib of the man. He chose to do that. He chose the anatomy of the man. Isn't it interesting? He didn't pop a piece of the skull off and say, you know, I'm going to pop that off, put a little coconut back on there, it'll be good, right? He could have done that. You know why? Because he didn't want her to be over him. Could he have broken off his baby toe and said, I'll make her out of that? He could have done that too. But he didn't do that because he didn't want her walking all over her, want him walking all over her. So when you think about this, and really and truly, this is kind of fascinating because God makes a masterpiece here. So you girls are really a masterpiece. And he creates her out of the rib of the man. So if we look at this, we say, okay, interesting. Why the rib of the man? Why not the piece of the skull? Why not dirt? Why not gold? Why not a pinky or, you know, the little toe? So let's ask ourselves some questions then. Let's make some deductions from the text. What is the purpose of a rib? Well, there's a few things that I know that a rib is good for. So one thing is it covers, this, it protects the sensitive organs of the man, correct? The heart, the lungs, the sensitive organs of the man. Second thing that it is a part of the skeletal support network. You know, you remember back in school, the foot bone's connected to the ankle bone and all that, right? Now, even though if a man loses his rib, he doesn't walk around like that, okay? But it is a part of the skeletal support network. Third thing, they taste good when barbecued, right? Okay, that's the only other thing that ribs are good for that I know of, okay? So amazing. Now, here's the truth. When they translate from the Hebrew, the original word for Hebrew for the heart, which we call it the emotional seat, the center of the person. So if you say to your spouse, I love you with all of my heart, they know that you're referring to not this beating organ, poof, 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 I love you with all this little beating thing. They know that you're saying, I love you from the emotional core of my being, right? Now, the Hebrew translation is bowels. Isn't that interesting? Because you've heard that said before, right? From the bowels of the earth, right? But I want you to try that. Just look at your spouse and say, I love you with all of my bowels. Kind of doesn't work, does it? Valentine's Day would be totally different. I don't know what they would do in the card industry, okay, but it doesn't work. So when the King James translated, they said, you know, we're going to use the word heart. That's the center of the person. That's the center of the being, of our being. And so figuratively then, if you will, metaphorically, the heart, yes, the rib protects the heart, the sensitive beating organ of the body, but if you will, figuratively, it's the emotional seat. It's that part of us that where we say it's from the depth of our emotions, the center of our emotions, right? It is the place where we feel. It's the place where color comes from. Music is an emotional thing, isn't it? Doesn't it elicit, you know, emotions? We were at Chuck E. Cheese today for our little 3-year-old birthday, for our little 3-year-old grandson. So we were at Chuck E. Cheese, and they were playing music from the 70s up there. So all of a sudden, Cool and the Gang comes on, right? And it takes you emotionally, it takes you right to a location, right? So music does that, but that comes from the heart, from the emotional part of us. That's what it does to us, right? And so amazingly, God looks at Adam and he goes, Adam, there's something missing, there's something incomplete. I'm going to take a rib, I'm going to take a side of you, and I'm going to create that which then will complete you. So isn't it interesting, kind of ironic, that he takes something from the man, making us more incomplete, to create that which then completes us. So kind of an ironic thing, kind of an interesting thing that he does. So what is Adam missing? He's black and white. He's logical. He's a problem solver. He's emotionless for the most part. Now, I do believe that once a man becomes a Christian, God takes something, he takes a key, something that we've locked up. Because, I mean, think about it. Boys have been told their whole life, boys don't cry. Stop your crying. Boys don't cry, you know. But yet, when we get saved, it's almost like Jesus says, oh, there's something I'm going to unlock. And I mean, I watch Christian men cry all the time, you know. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but during, you know, the Christmas in July on Hallmark, I watched them. I cried, okay. I already know what's going to happen. They're easy to figure out. I look at it and I say, Lord, I don't know why I'm crying right now, because I knew this was going to happen. So this is something that God, I believe, he unlocks these things. But so interestingly enough, God made the woman with the heart. He exposed that, pulled that from the man, and he says, this is how I'm going to create the woman. I'm going to create her with the heart. Her main idea is going to be, she's going to be the one with the emotion. Yet, she is the helper. Yet, she is the support person as a part of the anatomy. All of those things then begin to fit together. So a woman, that's my neighbor. And are they showing up? No? Okay, good. You don't want to know what that one was. What are you using for rat bait? So it's a good thing you didn't see that one. I'm talking about the girls, you know. So he says, so a woman thinks in color. A woman feels choices and decisions where a man thinks them. Now, that doesn't mean a woman doesn't think. That doesn't mean she doesn't have logic. She does. But her first response, her first decision is usually what she feels. She responds to different things and she reacts with feeling and emotion, where a man reacts out of logic. And so this is the way God designed a woman to be. That's why he exposed that side. That's the side he took from the man and made her into a woman. So she senses things. So believe it or not, the things of the Spirit of God, if you think about it, men, your wife is going to be typically more sensitive to the things of the Spirit. Why? Because they feel that stuff. So for us as men, we don't feel things like that. That's why it's very important for you men to listen to your wife when she goes, you know what, something doesn't feel right here. Because us as men will say, what? What's the problem? We look at it logically. We say, everything is as it should be. And yet, I have been wrong many times when Mari has said, something doesn't feel right. Something about even sensing things about others, about people. you know what, Rob, something, I get a bad vibe, get a bad feeling about that guy. You know, she is literally on two separate occasions, we had literally, I think I told you guys this, I don't know. But many years ago, we had a guy show up when we were over in the junior high school. Guy show up, hanging out. He says, yeah, you know, I want to volunteer to work with kids. And we put people through quite a bit, you know, background checks and all that kind of stuff. So I sent him over to where Mari was at, and she and a couple were in charge of the children's ministry. Mari talks to me later that day, and she goes, who's that guy you sent over? And I said, told her the name. And I said, she goes, Rob, I got a bad feeling. Don't let him work with the kids. And I said, I've learned. Okay, sweetie, you got it. So I talked to the guy. I said, listen, you know what? They don't need any help in children's ministry. How about being an usher? So he says, nah, you know, I'll just chill. So literally maybe a couple of weeks later, he's gone. It was probably maybe 6 months later, we read about him in the Ramona Sentinel that he was arrested in Ramona for child molestation. He was working at the guitar place. That's where he found his way to get to the kids. So Mari felt it. She sensed it. She warned me, and she was right on the money. And especially girls that have been through that, they have a sense that most of us don't. And so guys, learn to listen to your wife when it comes to the things of the Spirit. It's okay. God designed them to feel that. And when you're dealing with sometimes the things of God, it's connected to the sensory part of us. It's connected to the senses of the feelings. So you got to learn to listen to that. So she senses things. And so let me show you. Let's bring the girls into the picture then. Okay? So here's the woman's thought process. Now, you may be looking at that saying, wait a minute, rainbow. I'm going to make a shirt that says Noah called and he wants his rainbow back, okay? Because we had it first, right? Okay? So here's the deal. She, as a woman, does a woman still think in compartments? Absolutely. She still has a home. She still does home projects in her home. She still, if a woman works outside the home, she still does preparatory work to get outside the home. If you're a woman that's blessed to be able to stay at home, your home, the work becomes your home place. So stay-at-home moms still have things. They see, yes, I'm raising and training my children, but there's certain projects that they look at and they say, I have to get this done because it's kind of, they look at it as, that's my job. And so they still view things within the home. So they just don't leave the home, but they still do things within inside the home. Some of them, some of you gals that are professional, you have to leave the home. You prepare yourself. You get everything ready. And then you move to your employment place. So some of you girls have that work compartment. Some of you girls that get to be stay-at-home moms, your home becomes your work compartment. Okay? So at the end of a given day, whether you're a stay-at-home mom or whether you work outside the home, there's a point where you start to think, okay, I'm going to be going home now, and I need to begin to prepare. I want to start thinking about what I'm going to do when I get home. So you have your drive home. For you girls that stay-at-home moms, towards the end of what you know, okay, my husband's going to be coming home. So there are certain things you start to say, okay, now I'm preparing for my husband when he gets home. So things change when he gets home. So there's a difference in the thought process for a woman. Then, you know, you have your home projects that you do. So, okay, your husband's home. Take these kids. I've got some things I want to do. I got to take and accomplish a few things. But there is a big difference, okay? Notice what transpires here, okay? So for you girls, there is one major difference. Ah, let me go back. Oh, you're not supposed to see that one yet. Okay, we got to go back. So, let me see if I leave it on. It's supposed to move. It is moving? Oh, it already did. Okay, well, anyway. So the difference is, remember I told you girls that we men have a box with nothing in it? You girls do not have that box. In fact, in your mind, everything is connected to each other. Now you notice the difference between a woman's thought process. Women, you think in color. Notice men's compartments are very hard. They're very rigid. We function within that box, and we don't really like to get outside of the box. We stay in one box at a time. You girls' boxes are softer. They're more fluid. So for you girls, you can be at work thinking about what you left, you know, at the house before you left, what you're going to be doing later on in the evening, and what the kids are doing, what your husband's doing, what you need to be doing tomorrow, what you need to get at the grocery store. Everything is going on inside of your mind all at the same time. And so for you ladies, there is no place where you just have, like for us as men, what do you think about? Nothing. And you girls go, seriously, no, what do you think about? Nothing. A man has a nothing box, and that there is nothing there. And I told you guys, it's a beautiful place to be. You girls do not have that box, okay? In fact, we'll talk more about it when we get to that place. So intimacy for the ladies, being able to turn all of that stuff off. See, for a man, intimacy, that's my box I'm in. That's all I'm thinking about. That's why you girls can say, is that all you think about right now? Yes. But for you girls, you don't have that box. You're thinking about a million other things. And so for a man, you got to be able to help your girl to be able to turn out and tune out some of those things. Talk about that later, okay? But for our girls, that's why, do you know, women are better multitaskers than men are. A woman can multitask doing many things outside of what she's working on. For a man, we'll multitask in the box we're in. So if, you know, whatever work project that we're doing, if it has something to do with what we're working on at the moment, we can multitask, but that's the end of it. So if you say, here, you know, a man's, I'll tell you the other day, so I'm fixing a sprinkler line that some rats chewed up at my house, right? And so my wife is sitting there watching me, and I got my two little grandsons pulling tools out of the little box, saying, hey, Grandpa, watch this, blowing through the little pieces of pipe and all that. And I'm trying to focus on the box I'm in. I'm trying to fix the sprinkler, and I'm going, I'm short-circuiting. Don't give me that back. Don't put that back. No, come back. Finally, I went, Mari, help. But for a girl, that's normal. For a woman, they could be doing, you know, their children doing a million things all at one time, and you maintain. But for us guys, I short-circuited just trying to fix a sprinkler. Right? And so for you girls, you make better multitaskers. And so also notice here, a woman likes, because it's an emotional thing, women like large open spaces. Men enjoy the compartment of the small boxes that we like to live in. Think about this, okay? When you walk into a typical office building, the first room that you come to is the reception area, correct? Typical. Typically, it's a woman that works in a reception area. When you walk into the reception area, what do you see? A large open space. Now then, from that point forward, a woman will say, okay, we're going to take you to an office. Typically then, not always, but it's male. And their offices are small little boxes. Men are comfortable with that. Now, sometimes you got females that have office spaces, but you know what? You will find out. And they've done some studies and research. A woman leaves her office more, 10 times more than a man does, because she needs to get out of her box and go, okay, I'm in a large open space. Okay, I feel better. And they come back in. You know, they've designed this thing called cubicles, right? And so they put women in cubicles. It's funny that a woman will sit in her cubicle for a while. Man will sit there all day long and be good with it. Women, after so many hours, they can't stand anymore. They stand up. So they stand up. They look above the cubicle walls. They say, okay, all right, I feel sane again. I'm a large open space. Okay, I'm good. And then they sit back down. But then they stand up. That's why some men refer to them as cube farms, because all of a sudden, something props up, you know. So watch what a woman does. They stand up. They like it. Do you know that... It's kind of wild. I'll tell you a quick story, and just to help make the point. The Mission Valley Mall was one of the first malls in San Diego. So I remember it. I think it was like 1969, 70, something like that. And outdoor mall. Before the malls, we had department stores. You guys remember Montgomery Ward, Sears, JCPenney's, all those kind of places. Even to this day, any of the department stores trip out on this. You walk into a department store. Now, in the 60s and 70s, a woman could go into a department store, and right next to the women's section is always the children's section. See, these were designed with women in mind because they know the women are the ones spending the money at the department stores. So kids section right here. So the wife can be looking, and every once in a while she looks over and sees her kids. And we don't do that anymore. But they still have the kids section next to the women's section. You check this out. You go into a department store. So they decided, because I can remember when you couldn't even buy a pair of Levi's at JCPenney. They all had their own brands. Remember that? You had the Sears brand, and if you wanted to be cool, you had to wear Levi's. You had to have that little red tag. Remember those days? Okay. So you had to go to the little mom-and-pop shops to get those kind of things. If you wanted a pair of tennis shoes or whatever, Hawaiian shirt, I can remember wearing Ocean Pacific back in junior high. You didn't get those at Sears. You had to go to little mom-and-pop surf shops to get those. So they decided, let's create a mall where we bring all these mom-and-pop shops to one location. We'll give them each one of their stores. So in the beginning of the Mission Valley Mall, men designed it, and they created a bunch of boxes. Security, which is logical. Got to be able to secure these rooms. So they had the doors that were shut, so they put the big sign out in the front, Ocean Pacific. So they had this big grand opening for the mall, and it was a big, huge, everybody came, and then within like a month, it was a ghost town. So they're trying to figure out what in the world happened. They go back into the department stores. There's all the girls back in the department store. So they're going, what in the world happened here? So they looked at the department store. They looked especially at the women's section. Large open space. Racks are lower. Even to this day, racks are lower in the women's section because a woman couldn't stand and look above the racks. Okay? So they decided. They start talking to the women, trying to understand what's going on here. Women like that large open space. They felt too compartmentalized. Why? Because men designed it for men, not for a woman. So what did they do? They tore down the storefronts of all the Mission Valley stores, put glass doors. Still secure it, but it's glass. Do a secondary grand opening, and it took off. Because a woman could be in there, still look through the glass, feel like she's in a large open space, and the malls have taken off. Now you got indoor malls. Check this out. Notice what section is right next to the outdoor area of the mall, women's section. Now they have big chain things that they close the security fences so that there's not even a glass door there. So a woman will feel comfortable, she feels safe, she feels secure, she spends money. You go to the malls, let me ask you a question. Where's the men's sections? Down in the bottom, in the basement somewhere, out in the back, right? You say, where's the men's shoes? Oh, that's downstairs in the basement area, But all the women's stuff, you go to the mall, you look at the women's shoe section, large open space. That's what makes a woman, that's an emotional thing. Women think in color. They need to feel that. I want to feel like I'm in a large open space. So women think in color. You guys, you see the colors when you walk in here. You walk into your average church building, and you got white walls, usually blue carpet, typically blue chairs, right? Not so when you come in here. You know why? I didn't touch it. I turned it over to two girls, my wife and another lady. And so they said, we want something that when you walk in, you feel like you're at home. You feel like you're in a warm, cozy place. So I said, you know what? I feel that way when I walk into a Starbucks. Yeah, I don't like Starbucks, but when you walk in, you go, ah. So you know what they did? This is all Starbucks colors. So I let two girls have it, and now you walk in here and go, it feels so homey. It's color. And the girls did it. That's not the way men do it. Your typical bachelor pad, white walls, black furniture. Isn't that a trip? And so for you girls, this is the way you think. This is the way God designed you to be. So women, everything works together. Everything is interconnected. Isn't it interesting? For a woman, you have a connection to your children that a man never does. That's why many women are afraid to leave their kids alone with their husband. He doesn't watch them like I do. Why? Because they were a part of you for 9 months, and now all of a sudden they are an extension of you. So I could sit with a husband and wife and say, you know what, listen, man, your little Johnny, little punk, that little brat, he needs, you know, we're going to have to deal with him in the Sunday school area. He needs some discipline. So the couple will walk out the door, and the husband is thinking, I got to solve this problem. He's on restriction. I'm going to take away his bike. I'm going to give him some, you know, and he'll process it logically. And he'll look at his wife, she's crying. And he'll look at her and say, what's the matter? Did you hear what Pastor Rob just said? Yeah, he said, Johnny, there needs to be some discipline. I'm thinking about what we need to do. He said, I'm a terrible mother. Because if you say something about a woman's child, you've said it about her. Because they're an extension of who they are. That's feeling and emotion. Us men don't have that. Isn't that a trip to think about? So these are some things that, you know, and I could go on and on and on. Men, we like compartment. You think of a Home Depot where a man is comfortable. They walk in there, floor to ceiling. We don't care. We're good with that. I don't need to see except for down the aisle, right? Even to this day, you go even in at Costco. Look at the section where the women's section's at. Large open space. Isn't that wild? So think about that. But for you women, that's why a woman shopping is an emotional experience. Shopping for a man? No, it's a hunt. We're going to solve the problem. Men don't go shopping for clothes. We hunt for clothes. Here's what a man does too, because we're so routine. We will find a place where if we found something and it fits us, we will go back to the same place forever until they go out of business. That's what my son said to me one time. He said, Dad, what are you going to do for your clothes if Costco goes out of business or the circus leaves town? I didn't appreciate that, right? But men will go back to the same spot over and over and over, buying their clothes. We walk in, we know what size we wear, we walk over, we pull the jean, boom, we're gone. Women, it's an emotional experience. Shopping it's a fun thing. A woman can walk into a department store, let me show you. A woman can walk into a store to buy a pair of pants. Okay, see, look. Do you see what it is? Boom. 6 minutes, $33. For a woman, it's a shopping is an experience. They can even stop in the middle of the shopping experience and say, let's get a cup of coffee. Let's have coffee. A woman can walk in looking for a pair of pants, come out with two pairs of shoes and a blouse. And we as men, that freaks us out. We go, whoa. We didn't come here looking for a blouse. What do you mean you're looking for a blouse? Well, I couldn't find the pants I was looking for. See, if we as men go looking for a pair of pants, we don't find them, we're out of there. Hunt is over. But for you girls, you say, that's happened to me. I'm with Mari. She says, okay, Rob, I wear a size 4. This is what I'm looking for. I pull one out. There you go. This is it. Let's go. No, don't like those sleeves. Now, for a man, we start to get stressed out. What do you mean you don't like his lead? You told me what you wanted. This is it. I checked. Put it back on. Maybe find another one, the same color. Here you go. I don't like that. Women, have you ever watched a woman walk through a clothes rack? Why? Because feel is a feeling, sensory. They like to touch it all. A woman, I don't like the way that feels. So a man will put it back. I put it back on the rack. I'm going to look through. Not here. Failed my mission. I look back over where she just was. She's not there. I'm going, okay, we got a problem. So I go looking for her. I finally find her. She's looking at blouse. What are you doing? Well, I couldn't find the pants I was looking for, so I'm looking at blouses. I'm going, what do you mean looking at blouses? This isn't what we came for. So here's the deal. I have learned, you can ask my daughter, I can go to the mall. Most men don't like going to the mall, okay? I have learned, I've been retrained. I can go to the mall, I can hang out all day, buy nothing for me, conquer nothing, and I just call myself the mule. I sit in a neutral place. They call me. Dad, would you come and look at this? I want to try this on. I want you to see. Oh, here, by the way, carry this. Mari calls me. I want to try this on. By the way, carry this. I'm the mule, and I'm good with that. Guys, you can go to the mall and enjoy it, okay? I promise you, you can do that, all right? So with this said, let me just tell you a couple of things, okay? So let me tell you guys. I'm going to give you a couple of communication things. We did one last week. Remember what I told you? That for us as men, if you bring a problem to us, you need to, if you want to not get interrupted, you need to tell us something. I just need you to listen. And then flip that switch off. Just need you to listen. You don't need to solve anything. I've already taken care of it. Gave you a few scenarios. What I've done may come into your circle, or I haven't taken care of it, but I want you to hear the whole story. So, men, we can just tune it off, okay? So now that we've got our girls in the picture, let me just tell you a couple things. Ladies, if you want to know what your man feels, never ask him, how do you feel about this? Use the word feel to a man, and we short circuit. What do you mean feel? I don't feel nothing. And so you never ask a man and use the word feel to a man, okay? You ask him what he thinks. What do you think about this? Now he'll tell you what he feels. Think is a male word. Okay, so ladies, you got it? What do you think? And he'll tell you what he feels, but you don't use the word feel. Husbands, never ask your wife, what do you think? What are your thoughts on this? A woman goes, what do you mean, what do I think? What are my thoughts? A woman, short circuit. Husbands, you got to learn the word. Do it. Say it with me. I want to see you men do it. Feel. Say it, man. It feels weird, doesn't it? I know some of you guys go, I'm not doing it. This I'm not doing. Some of you guys like got all choked. No, that's as far as I go. So you want to know what your wife is thinking. You don't say think. Think is a male word. You say, how do you feel about this? What are your feelings on this subject? Tell me what you feel. And she'll tell you what she thinks. Okay? So with that said, let me just give you a little communication tip, okay? Not that you girls aren't logical. Please don't misunderstand you, but your primary is feeling and emotion, okay? So very, very kind of an important thing about this. You never express feelings as a fact. Men, we do it too, okay? So I'll give you a brief scenario. Husband comes home. Wife is, preoccupied maybe cooking dinner, and I'm not trying to stereotype. Husband comes walking in. He's had a terrible day at work. Somebody just chewed him out in his office, or, he just had to fix a flat tire on the freeway, whatever. Comes walking in. Wife says, hey, you're home. He just walks back. Immediately, a woman's feelings will get hurt. Oh, well, what's that all about? Jerk. How dare he just come in and ignore me like that? So you go walking over, so you say, huh, so what have I done now? What are you mad about, huh? Go ahead, tell me, what's going on? Why are you mad? Well, what you just did is you expressed a feeling as a fact. You don't know that he's mad. You feel like he's mad. So what I want you guys to do, and men, we got to do it too, because we do the same thing. The moment that something happens to where your feelings get hurt, and men, our feelings get hurt, let's admit it. The moment that happens, I want you to, before you say anything, I want you to process, ooh, that hurt. Well, why did that hurt my feelings? Process it first. Okay, we go back to the same scenario. Oh, well, that was disrespectful. I felt disrespected. So now you have the feeling located to where now you can present a feeling as a feeling. So you now walk back into your husband who's sitting there and you say, everything okay? Yeah, why? Well, I don't know if you're aware of it, but I said hello when you walked in. You didn't say anything, and I don't know if you're aware of that. That hurt my feelings. I feel disrespected. I feel like you're upset with me. You understand? A man now cannot and will not get into a big argument with you. It forces your man to deal with your feelings. Do you realize that probably 90% of the arguments and discussions that we get into as spouses is over hurt feelings? Oftentimes, they're not even real. It's feelings that are hurt. So, and men, have you ever talked to your wife about, you know, you get into a discussion, it's like you're going, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, we have got to stop, I've got to get to bed. So you've just talked for like 5 hours straight, and then the next day, you come home, and we think, okay, it's over, because it's another day, and your wife comes in and says, see, we never solve anything. And you go, what are you talking about? We talked for 5 hours last night. Until we deal with them at the feeling level, it's not dealt with. Until we find out what that feeling was that we hurt, it's not dealt with. So you have to learn how to express your feelings as a feeling. And in order to do that, you have to use the word feel. And men, we can do it too. Honey, when you talked to me that way in front of others, do you have any idea how that makes me feel? I feel so disrespected when you do that. When you talk down to me, I feel disrespected. Men, we can do the same thing to our wives. It forces them to deal with us at a feeling level also. And so never express your feelings as a fact. You express facts as facts. And if you do that, you got to have your ducks in a row. So, you know, you may, just one that comes to my mind that I use often, a husband says, hey, I'll be home at 5 o'clock. It's Monday. You don't show up till 6. You didn't call. Number one, you just broke her trust. Okay? So she says, why didn't you call? You know what? I totally forgot. I messed up. So trust is already broken. So Tuesday night, you come home. I'll be home by 5. You don't show up till 6. Trust is broken again. So ladies, now at this point, you don't say, I am sick and tired of eating, waiting for you. I'm not going to wait for you any longer. You don't care enough about me. Well, that's not true. He does care, but he's messing up. So Wednesday night, he comes home. He's on time, 5 o'clock. Thursday night, he's on time. It's 5 o'clock. Friday night, shows up at 6. So now, you can present your facts as facts. So Friday night, you go, you know what? I don't know if you're aware, but I feel very disrespected. Okay, Monday night, you said you'd be home by 5. You didn't show up till 6. Tuesday night, you didn't show up till 5 or till 6. Yeah, Wednesday and Thursday, you showed up on time. But Friday, here we are again, and you're late again. Do you have any idea how that makes me feel? It makes me feel like you really don't care, that your work is more important or whatever, okay? You've presented your facts as a fact. Never, so when we got to get rid of some all-inclusive words. Never, always, every time. Let's take that and reuse it. Friday night, you say, you know what, I'm sick of this. You're always late. You say you're going to be home on time. You never come home on time. Do you know what a man will do that ticks you girls off? Was I on time Wednesday? Was I on time Thursday? And you girls hate that, right? Because we'll find that time when we were on track, and we'll bring that out, and you girls don't like that. So get rid of all-inclusive words, always, never, every time, those kind of things, okay? And I can tell you this, and I'll give you one more, okay? So, ladies, do you know when you've hurt your husband? Do you know what his M.O. is? Guys, do you know what your wife's M.O. is when you've hurt her feelings? They either turtle up, back away, silent, or they become demonstrative. Okay? And they're ready to argue back. Okay? So, listen, I for Mari and I, this was huge. She grew up in a home where you turtle, you go quiet, and more abuse comes. So she learned how to be the grizzly. So when she would grizzly with me, I could grizzly back. This is the way we started our marriage. This was a lot of the problems that we had. I'm a bigger bear than you then. I can yell louder. Until finally, it was the weirdest thing. She makes mention, and she says, you know, I said, you know, we've got the yelling has got to stop. She said, well, if you stop hurting me. I said, whoa, wait. I hurt you? Yeah. Why didn't you tell me that? Well, I don't know. I don't know why I didn't tell you. And so that, a couple of days, maybe a week later, she goes, you want to know why I didn't tell you? I was never allowed to say those when I was growing up. I could never say that hurts me because that would bring more pain. So I said, so wait a minute. Wait, what you're saying is when you are angry and you show that anger, then I've done something to hurt your feelings? Most of the time, yes. But you can't tell me that. No. And I said, so what would happen if I were to ask you a question? What would happen if I were to ask you the next time? Time out, Mari. Hold on just a second. By your behavior right now, I must have done something to hurt your feelings. Would you be able to tell me what it is? Well, I don't know. We could try it. So we did. And immediately, problem resolved. It's a trip. So guys, if your wife is kind of the kind that turtles up, goes into turtle, or she just silenced, goes into a room, whatever, next time that happens, instead of saying, good, or go in and say, okay, no, you're not turtling about me. Get back here. We're going to talk this out, okay? Or wives, when you know, with your husband, whatever it is that he does, next time I want you guys to try this. Walk up to them and say, you know what? It's obvious by the way that you're behaving right now. I must have done something to hurt you. Can you tell me what I did? Watch how fast that argument gets settled. Then you deal with it at the feeling level. Well, you hurt my feelings, what you said, it hurt me, whatever it was. So find, you know how your spouse reacts. You should, after being married for a couple years, you should know, okay? And all you got to do is ask a simple question. When you see them give that response, I got to give this back to you, don't I, Randy? And so, so with that said, I think you got your facts is facts, okay? Because guys, you know, as I shared with you before, for a woman, did I give it back, Randy? You have it now? Yes? Okay. For a woman, trust and security are the most important thing to your wife. If she trusts you, she feels secure. If she has that security and that trust, she feels loved. A woman has to have that. If we've broken their trust in any way, even something as simple as, you know, we didn't show up on time, that has to be rebuilt. How do you fix that? Right behavior consistently over a period of time. If we've become demonstrative in our behavior to woman gets, we've scared them physically, trust has been broken. It has to get fixed. How do you fix it? Right behavior consistently over a period of time. But when that comes back, how long does it take? I don't know. But when she is secure, when she trusts you as her man, she feels happy, she feels loved, and you got yourself a great girl. So, and men, let me just tell you something. For those of you men that might be here tonight, like me, that your wife's trust was broken by someone else. At first, I felt like, Lord, what's the deal here? I didn't do this. And the Lord said, but that's why I brought her to you. So guys, if you're married to someone whose trust was broken, or girls, if you're married to someone whose trust was broken by someone else, don't look at it as a burden. Look at it as a gift. God brought them to you. And he wants to use you to help rebuild something that was damaged by someone else. All you got to do is say, Lord, use me, and watch what happens. So, make sense? Lord, thank you so much for the time that we've had tonight. And I pray, God, that we took something home that we can use, that we can put to use tomorrow, tonight even. And so may you bless these guys. May you fill them with your love and your grace. And Lord, may we be husbands and wives that truly love each other with your love. In Jesus' name, amen.